And right away, we're going to open up our Bibles to Luke 4. I've asked Gordon. You see, Gordon's not here very often. Gordon and Pat are not here very often. So it's not a slap on the wrist or anything like that. But just when you're here, get him to work, you see. So, and Gordon's going to read this for us. It's from page 1031. Okay.
Hey, it's good to be back with you this morning. And I was really excited when Ed asked me to read these verses because they were very significant. They are very significant in our journey, but particularly 5 or 6 years ago here when we were wrestling with whether God was calling us into Christian service at Torch Trust for the Blind. And part of our journey of discovering God's will for us was in reading these verses, Luke chapter 4 from verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee where he'd been out in the desert where he'd been tempted. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole synagogue. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Great, thanks, Gordon. Doesn't he read well? Great. Thank you, Gordon. You can do that again some other time. Now, we have been looking at, and this year we are looking at the theme of the way of Jesus. As those who seek to follow after Jesus, those who shouldn't have done that, get overexcited. Cheers, lunch today, yum yum. Let me just adjust that. Why did that happen? I don't know. Where are we? That was a reminder about food is definitely the way of Jesus. Yeah, here we go. Should we have another go? There we go. The way of Jesus. This year, this is our theme, the way of Jesus. As those who are disciples of Jesus, those who look to Jesus as our master, our heart desire is that we discover the way that Jesus lived. We reflect on it and then we respond to it ourselves. And that is our theme for this year, the way of Jesus, to say what Jesus did, we will seek to do. What the way Jesus was, we will seek to be. And we seek to walk in obedience to him because he is our master. Now, last week we looked at verses from Mark's Gospel where Jesus began to speak to the people. And you may remember that Jesus comes among the people, and it is in fact after John the Baptist has been put in prison, after John the Baptist has been silenced, John, who came with the message himself, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," after John has been put into prison, Jesus then goes and begins to speak. And he says to people as he goes around, he says, "The time has come. This is your moment. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And I'm sure at that time, as he began to speak, there will have been, as there was for John the Baptist, there will have been a mixture of responses to Jesus. And today we look at Luke 4. We look at Luke 4 because Luke 4 really unpacks for us the kingdom of God. It unpacks for us what Jesus was on about when he says, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Believe this gospel announcement. Last week I mentioned that this word gospel is not an original Christian term. It is in fact a term that was used in the Roman Empire to speak of the emperor. Whenever the emperor did something good, if he had a birthday or an anniversary, if he won a great victory, the heralds would be sent throughout the empire to announce the gospel, the good news. The emperor's done this, the emperor's done that. Let's all worship him. See how wonderful he is. And Jesus, or John, and now Jesus, they are announcing a new gospel, a new good news, not to do with the emperor anymore. And this was subversive. It was going to get them into trouble for daring to suggest that there was another good news. But that's what they do. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Well, in Luke 4, we have Jesus returning to Galilee, we're told in verse 14, in the power of the Spirit. If you've got your Bibles open, just look across to chapter 4, verse 1. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. And then Luke has Jesus, full of the Spirit, going through the experience in the wilderness. And then in verse 14, we're told, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Something happened to him that didn't break him, but made him. In the wilderness. And you and I, sometimes we go through difficult times, but it may be that what God is seeking to do is to change us from people who are simply full of the Spirit to people who live in the power of the Spirit. He goes into the synagogues. He teaches in the synagogues. Everybody begins to say, this guy is somebody we need to take note of. Everybody praises him. And then he returns home. On the Sabbath day, goes into the synagogue, stands up to read, and he's handed Isaiah. Turns to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I want to head everything I say today with this last phrase, the proclamation of the year of the Lord's favor. And what Isaiah is speaking about in Isaiah 61, when he talks about the year of the Lord's favor, what Jesus is referring to as he reads from Isaiah is the passage that I read to you earlier on in the service. Do you remember that? And I said, look out for a word. And what was that word? Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, the year of God's favor, the year when God will come close to you, when you will see how good God is. And what Jesus is saying is that in this year of God's favor, in this year of Jubilee, we will see what the kingdom of God really looks like, how it really feels. The year of the Lord's favor, it's there in Leviticus 25. And just to highlight, I'll put up five different things that are listed in Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25 says the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, is about freedom. Announce liberty to everyone. It's about freedom. It's about return to the family. Perhaps when relationships have been broken, when harm has been done, when abuse has been experienced, return to the family. It's about return of property. If you, for any reason, you've lost property, you've sold property, whatever's happened, you get your property back in the year of Jubilee, in the 50th year. There is to be borrowing without interest. Interestingly, that is not just a jubilee, a 50th year thing. You know? If you're a Christian and you lend money, how much interest should you charge? None. Some very brave person said none. I want to suggest this is the way of Jesus. It's the way of the kingdom. It's the way of the Lord's favor to lend without interest. God does not ask interest of us. So why do we ask it of others, perhaps? But that's what it says in Leviticus 25, a reminder, lend without interest. And there will be freedom from slavery. If anybody, because of their debts, has had to sell themselves into slavery, you'll be free from slavery. And the emphasis comes through in Leviticus 25 again and again. Everyone and everything belongs to the Lord. And the 50th year is a reminder that everyone and everything belongs to the Lord. So don't cling on to it too tightly. Because in 50 years, you're going to have to give it all back. Now, the really sad thing is that, you know, once the Israelites had entered the promised land, not once did they celebrate the year of Jubilee. Not once. Didn't even attempt it. Didn't even get anywhere near it. Not sure what the reasons are for that. But this is what Jesus is speaking of when he announces the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor, he says, is about announcing good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And I want to say straight up, I don't believe for a moment Jesus or Isaiah were speaking about the poor in spirit, as if this is a spiritual thing. I want to say that when people in that synagogue heard Jesus read from Isaiah 61, they knew that what he was speaking about was a year of blessing when debts would be forgiven, when people would have their property returned, when they would be freed from slavery. Not spiritual slavery, although that may be included later. Here, good news to the poor. What gives good news to the poor? Well, if you're poor, if you're in debt, you know, you might, I remember there was a book released by a missionary, and I think this missionary must have been quite frustrated at the number of people who said about problems in the third world, we'll pray for you. And this book was called They Can't Eat Prayer. They can't eat prayer. The poor cannot eat prayer. It's very nice. I'll pray for you. They need money. They need debts covered or forgiven. They need land returned. They need homes reclaimed. And that's what Jesus was speaking at, the way of the kingdom. This is where he expounds it. The kingdom of God is near. What does it look like? It's about the poor receiving good news and rejoicing because debts, homes, land. It's all going to be different from now on. This was the announcement. It actually was going to happen. This is the intention. And we may look ahead and sometimes dream, and in our imagination, we may think about this. And Jesus, I think very much, is calling upon people, use your imagination to see this as a different way, a different culture, a different society. And we may look ahead and say, what will life be on the earth when Jesus returns? I think it'll look something like this. Debts will be forgiven. The land will be returned. Homes will be reclaimed. Everyone will live at peace. Good news to the poor, it was an actual physical thing. And I really can't see how it was going to be good news to the poor unless those things happen. Freedom to the prisoners. Those who are in debt, why would they get into prison? Because most probably they were in debt. They would be released from prison. It may even be that those who have rebelled against the system, who have stood up against the oppression of the empire have been sent to prison. And Jesus saying, in this year of Jubilee, when Jesus comes, when you see the kingdom of God, it will look like this. Those who are in prison will be freed. Now I kind of scratch my head and I think, does that literally mean that everybody in prison will be set free? That could be quite scary, couldn't it? But I think there's something here for us to mull on and to reflect on what it means for prisoners to be released. What it means for prisoners, those who are in debt, to be released. Those who have rebelled against the system have stood up for what they believe. Last Sunday evening, in the evening service, we reflected on the Equality Bill 2006 that received some notice recently in the news, where Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, remember, he's kind of said part of what this bill says is that the Catholic Church, with their adoption agencies, they must allow anybody and everybody to adopt. And the Catholic Church were saying, hang on, there are those we don't believe should be allowed to adopt. Certainly not from our agencies. It goes, you know, gay couples. It goes against what we believe about families, about what we believe to be right. And very interesting that over the weekend, Tony Blair made clear, well, they've got 21 months to sort it out, but they must fall in line with the law. And on Monday morning, the newspapers were full of this concept that there will come a day when the church and proclaiming the message of Jesus will be illegal here. Because it announces a new morality, a different way of living. And it may be that sooner rather than later, there may come a day when it will be illegal in the name of Jesus to do what we believe to be right. And it may be that we become the prisoners, those who are trapped in this way. Well, we have the year of the Lord's favor when everything will change. Literally, things will be different. And then we get the phrase, obviously, Gordon's inspired by this, the recovery of sight for the blind. And of course, we want this to be literal. And when you look through the ministry of Jesus, of course, it was literal. Scales fell off people's eyes. They could see as they had never seen before. That was a physical thing that happened to them. And this is the announcement of the Lord's favor. God will come close to you. And if you are blind, and we may want to extend that to those who are crippled, those who are infirm, there will be healing. There will be something physical and dramatic that happens to people. Things that have held them back from society, things that have meant that they are outside of the bounds of community, all those things that have meant that they have been ostracized, have not been able to play their full part in society, they will be healed. Sight for the blind, physical sight, so they can live and prosper. And then the fourth element here is release for the oppressed. Release for the oppressed. And here I think we're talking about those who are oppressed by the weight of social and economic inequality. We may even want to speak about the demonized, the demons as symbols of the evil nature of the system. Those who can no longer cope with life that is so much against them. What Jesus is doing is announcing a new life, a new way of living, a new worldview, a new perspective. And saying, this is my agenda, that people begin to experience it right now. And as we trace through the ministry of Jesus, we see all of these things begin to happen. The poor rejoice because they're invited to Jesus to eat, to share, without any boundaries being there. The oppressed are released. The sight is given to the blind, and so on. This is the year of the Lord's favor. It's about a new way of living. It is about a new kingdom that Jesus is announcing. It is about a new sense of freedom. It is about justice and generosity and joy. And the appeal from the scripture this morning is that will we have the imagination to see that this might be true? Because I think sometimes in order to accept it truly, we need to see it and say, yes, it's possible. The way of Jesus is a very different way to our way. It's very different to our culture. It's very different to our society. As I mentioned earlier in the service about the Lent course. So easily we imbibe our culture and think it's normal. And what Jesus is doing in announcing the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, this party celebration, this good news, this gospel announcement, he's saying things can be different for those who follow me and those who are around those who follow me. They will experience the new life of this kingdom. Now, I recognize that it's very easy for us to hear this and go, yeah, 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 whatever. The great challenge for us is to say, in what way can I participate? In what way can I participate? What does it mean for me to bring good news to the poor? What does it mean for me to bring good news to the poor? Now, I know it may be that we say we put money in an envelope or a tin and send it off, and we think, oh, that'll bring good news to the poor. Well, how about bringing it closer to home? How can we bring good news to the poor, face to face? It may be that we have to link with this word about generosity and say, I will seek to live my life with generosity. I will open my doors. I will give generously in all sorts of ways that I might bring good news to as many as I can. And hopefully within that, there'll be poor people that I bring good news to. What does it mean for me to proclaim freedom for prisoners? Is that a word about justice and about standing up for those who are imprisoned because they have stood up for what they believe? What does that mean for me? What would I do? See, we can reflect on Jesus, but we have to make a response. What would a disciple of Jesus do? What does it mean for recovery of sight to the blind? Does that mean working for Torch? God, you could have a problem on your hands, couldn't you? You could have half the church travelling up to Market Harbour. You know, they do anyway. Yeah, getting close. You know? But what does that mean? We hear the Master say, this is what I'm about, recovery of sight for the blind. What does this mean for me? What does this mean? What should I do? And then we have to release the oppressed. Am I oppressing anybody? Am I oppressing anybody by the way that I live? Am I oppressing anybody by the way, the things that I say? Am I oppressing people by the way that I act? By my ignoring of them, by my refusing to forgive their sin, their mistakes, am I oppressing? All sorts of ways in which we can oppress people. What is my response? How can we say, we think the year of the Lord's favor is a great idea, and this is what we're going to do about it? We're going to enter into it ourselves. I trust that God might lavishly pour His Spirit on us. And we might delight in being part of what Jesus was about and is about. Bringing good news, the announcement of the year of the Lord's favor. Let's take a moment and pray over that. It may be that today our response is to say, yes, I want to engage with the year of the Lord's favor. I want in some way to be an obedient disciple of Jesus, but for the life of me, I can't imagine what I can do. And it may be that today we need to say, in a symbolic way, I put my foot on the road of following after Jesus, in a new way, in a meaningful way. It may be that we need to find space in our own lives to center ourselves and our lives more upon the way of Jesus. It may be that we are resolved that we will do something. It may be that we're resolved to put our foot on the road and to follow Jesus more closely. May we know the grace and the kindness of God as we follow him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.